Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. Special welcome to everyone here this morning. It's good to see you. An extra special welcome to any guests who may be worshiping with us today and those joining us via live stream also. Special, extra special welcome. So receive this call to worship this morning. Wisdom is calling. Are we listening? Wisdom is begging us to pay attention. Are we listening? Wisdom is crying out. Are we listening? Proverbs 2:1-6 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed come here today thanking you for the gift of life. Help us to understand that with you there is wisdom, and you desire to give us wisdom to live our lives here on this earth. So I ask that as we enter into this time of singing praises to you and hearing your word, that you would speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit living within us. Give us an understanding, a deeper understanding of who you are today and what you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So would you join the worship team in singing this morning?
Okay, well, good morning. I just invite you to worship along with us.
Spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so fell. My sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so fell liberty. Burden so fell liberty again. salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdens on the
ushers come forward on this next song. This morning's offering is going to LMC Ministries, and also any children may bring their coins forward for My Coins Count.
So, Father, yes, we do ask that we can be a light to someone, anyone who's around us. You've given us your light. We just studied that this morning in Sunday school. Give us your glow through the Holy Spirit, that people can see you through us, that we can help them in some way come to you, come to know you. Show us, guide us, direct us in this, and let us have just a blessed morning this morning, Father. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I invite you to stand if you're able as we continue to worship.
To understand what God has
Shared before how, you know, I enjoy hunting. I'm not a good hunter, so that speaks for itself. But anyway, but I do enjoy the beauty of nature and worshiping God in His creation. And so this next song is called "I Saw the Master" this morning. And so I just urge you, whether you can see the beauty of nature from a deer stand, or maybe a vacation in the mountains, or even in the routine of your daily life, I just urge it that it will move you to worship God.
I saw the Master this morning, as the sun was beginning to rise. He was sailing white clouds across heaven, removing the shadows of night. He bent down and kissed all the roses, left them blushing like sweet little the warm morning breeze. the pretty white lilies unfurl. I saw the master this morning as he came down to wake up the world. Then a bright wave of sun broke the heavens and spilled across the valleys and hills. It shone on the river like diamonds and danced on the ripples and rills. And I bowed in the light of his presence. And a sweet loving peace filled my soul. I saw the master this morning as he came down to wake up the world. Oh, I saw the master this morning as he came down to wake up the world.
Kneel at the cross,
reach your leg,
come while he waits for you. Whisper his voice, leave with him your care, and be the life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, give your idols up, kneel on to realms above. Turn not away to life's work and come, trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care.
And the last song here we're going to sing is Because He Lives. And I just want to draw your attention to verse 2. That's how sweet to hold a newborn baby. And as a fairly new grandparent here, this verse really speaks to me. You know, sometimes I'm tempted to think, in this evil world, who would want to bring a child into this where it seems like evil rules? But, you know, God gave the command to be fruitful and multiply. And he has not repealed that. And just like this verse says, that this child can face on certain days because Christ lives.
God sent his son, they call him Jesus, he came to us.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can sing that, that we know Christ lives, and you are still on the throne, no matter what is happening here in this world. And we just praise you for that. God, we just pray your touch on Larry now as he comes to preach about your wisdom. Just thank you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So I invite the children to come forward for our children's story this morning. Well, good morning.
Hello.
Hello. How are you all doing today? Excellent. Well, this morning we're going to talk about wisdom. Did you ever hear the word wisdom? Do you know what wisdom is? Do you know what wisdom is?
Being smart.
Being smart. Okay. I think wisdom is knowing how to make the right choices. Because in life, all throughout life, we have choices. Over and over again, choices. Every day you get up, you make choices. So wisdom is knowing how to make the right choice that is obedient to what God's word tells us. So do you know there's an animal that is associated with wisdom? Do you know what that animal is? What? Well, he does. He knows what it is.
It's an owl.
That's right. It's an owl. There he is. Wisdom is associated with owl. The wise owl. That's it. That is correct. So you learned something today, most of you. You learned something today. Wisdom is associated with the animal owl. So there's a verse in the Bible that says this: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So this is where wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes from God, and when we're making hard choices in life, then we look to his word, and it's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So were you ever out in the dark? Okay. What's it like to try and walk? What's it like to try and walk on a path when it's really dark? Scary. Yeah, because you don't know what's out there. Yeah.
And also,
you might trip or fall or something. That's exactly right. So you need a lamp and a light to shine so you can see where you're going. And that's what God's word does for us in life. It gives us wisdom, and it shines a light on our path so we can know where we're going and go in God's direction, following him and being obedient to him. Okay? So can we all say this verse together? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's try that again. That sounded really weak. Everybody can join in, okay? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when you're wandering into darkness, think about that. When you turn your flashlight on, represents God's word. Okay, I'm going to have a word of prayer for you guys. And then there's a snack back here. And this morning it's a smorgasbord because there's three different snacks you can choose from. So just take one, but there's three different things you can choose from. It's like going into Sheetz and trying to get a drink, and you stand at that case, and it's like hundreds of choices just to get a drink. So there's a lot of choices this morning, so just take one, okay? Father God, we thank you for these children. Ask for your special blessing upon them today. As they continue to go through life, I pray, Father God, you would pour your wisdom into them, that they would know and understand that wisdom comes from you, and your word will help them light the path and show where their feet can go so they don't stumble and fall. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'll sit here in the front bench. Well, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, and again, welcome to Bowmansville Mennonite Church. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message. I certainly do appreciate your prayers. So before we get started this morning, I'd just like to have say a word of thank you to you, the congregation, for the gifts, cards, words of encouragement that you gave to Sandy and I for Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Also, thank you for your birthday wishes as I celebrate my birthday. I got text messages and phone calls and all kinds of things. So thank you for those birthday wishes. Also like to just spend a little time in prayer this morning. Becky Zimmerman lost her father. Wes Shirk lost a brother this past week. And also just an update on Carol Whitmer. She had surgery on Friday. The doctors were very pleased with the surgery. And so we just want to continue to pray for her healing as she moves forward after surgery. Also got a message that Alvin Wise will be having fluid removed on Wednesday as an outpatient. And he's asking for prayer for that all goes well on Wednesday as he goes through that procedure. So would you join me in prayer this morning? Father God, we do indeed thank you that you are God who knows all about the tiny details and what's going on in our lives. And I just pray for Becky Zimmerman this morning, Doug and Becky, that you would surround them with your presence, that you would comfort them through this time of loss in their lives. Also lift up Wes Shirk as he tragically lost a brother in an accident this past week. And I pray that you would surround him, the entire Shirk family, with your presence, your powerful presence, and your deep peace through this very, very difficult time. Also, we thank you this morning that Carol Whitmer's surgery went well. The doctors are pleased, and we ask, Father God, for healing, continued healing in the name of Jesus, and that Carol will be able to get up and around, and we pray, Father God, that she'd be pain-free. And also, as Alvin is going to be having fluid removed on Wednesday as an outpatient, we pray, Father God, you would go with him and Anna Mae. I pray you would give him peace, and I pray that all would go well. And we just ask all these things in your precious and holy name. And now, as we look into your word, I pray, Father God, that you would show yourself real and powerful. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So before I get into the message, I just want to do a quick preview of next Sunday morning's worship service. Next Sunday morning, Bishop Eric Marshall will be here to facilitate the leadership transition as Pastor Tony is installed as lead pastor and I step into the associate pastor role. And then during the month of November, Tony and I will both be supported full-time as I walk very closely with him through that time of transition. Then beginning in December the 1st, I'll be supported quarter-time and Tony will be the only full-time pastor during that time. And also during the months of November and December, Sandy and I are choosing not to worship here on Sunday mornings to give Tony and Teresa some space to transition into that full-time role. So I'm going to be serving as associate pastor then until a search has begun and someone is identified to step into the associate pastor role. And then I'll be stepping aside and be completely retired from all pastoral responsibilities here at Bowmansville. And just a word of clarification, I will be beginning January 1st, next year, serving as part-time chaplain for Brubacher Excavating. So that is a brand new role, and Keith and I have been having many conversations, so we're going to see how that plays out, but I'm looking forward to that challenge and thinking it will be a blessing for Brubacher Excavating. So if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me, and I'll try to answer them. So this morning, we're going to be getting into this, continuing the fall sermon series on the sufficiency of God, and today looking at the sufficiency of God's wisdom and knowledge. So, do you or have you ever known someone who is a know-it-all? I take from that little chuckle that you do. It's, you know, someone that no matter what the topic of conversation is, no matter what the discussion is, they always seem to know everything there is to know about that particular topic. So when I worked at Conestoga Wood, I worked with someone like that. Actually, maybe a few people like that. Any conversation that took place in the break room at lunch or at break time, they were usually right in the middle of the conversation, freely sharing all the knowledge they knew, whether you want to hear it or not. You know, I don't know about you, but I really didn't appreciate being around that particular person. Well, Romans 11:33, which is a doxology or a prayer of praise to God, says this: Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. This doxology is praising God for the wisdom of his plan. Although God's method and means are beyond our comprehension, God himself is not arbitrary. He governs the universe and our lives with a perfect plan, perfect wisdom, and perfect love. God also declares through the prophet Isaiah, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The children of Israel were foolish to act and to think that they knew what God was thinking and planning. God's knowledge and wisdom are far greater than man's. And we are foolish to try and fit God into our mold or make his plans fit into our plans. Instead, we must strive to fit into his plans, to cooperate with what he is doing. And I suggest that in order to do this, It requires wisdom and knowledge. Godly wisdom and knowledge. So perhaps it'd be helpful to understand the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are both reoccurring themes in the scriptures. So the dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. Knowledge, on the other hand, is information gained through a learning process, through reasoning, or through experience. Knowledge can exist without wisdom, but not the other way around. Someone can be knowledgeable without being wise. For example, knowing how to use a firearm is knowledge. You know how to do it. Wisdom is knowing when and when not to use it. God wants us to have wisdom or have knowledge of Him and what He expects of us. In order to obey Him, we need to have knowledge of His word and His commands. But it's also equally important to have wisdom. Knowing facts about God in the Bible is not all there is to wisdom. Wisdom, godly wisdom, is a gift from God. James 1, 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God gives and blesses us with wisdom so we can glorify Him and use the knowledge we have of Him. Knowledge is what is gathered over time through the study of Scriptures. Wisdom, in turn, acts appropriately upon that knowledge. Wisdom is the fitting application of knowledge. Knowledge understands the light has turned red. Wisdom applies the brakes. Knowledge sees the quicksand, and wisdom walks around it. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments. Wisdom obeys the Ten Commandments. Knowledge learns about God. Wisdom loves God. So hopefully we can see and understand a little bit about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. So I'd like to spend the majority of our time this morning looking at godly wisdom. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. The Bible often urges us to seek wisdom above all things. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. So I think one of the things we need to understand this morning is that there are different kinds of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19a says, do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Paul was not telling the Corinthian believers and us to neglect the pursuit of knowledge. Education and learning are good. He was warning them that if worldly wisdom holds them back, hinders their walk with the Lord, then it is not wisdom at all. So there's clearly two different kinds of wisdom. worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And James 3, 13 to 18 talks about that. So I'd like to read those verses. James 3, 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. True wisdom can be measured by the depth of someone's character. Just as you identify a tree by the fruit that it produces, you can evaluate your wisdom by your actions. Worldly wisdom fans the flames of self-centeredness by listening to the advice, assert yourself. Go for it. Your life is your business. And no one, not even God, our Creator, has any business influencing our decisions, our moral values, and how we behave. Godly wisdom, wisdom that comes from above, is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive to God, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So godly wisdom is obviously from God and is quick to acknowledge and honor God. Godly wisdom starts with the fear of God and results in living a holy life by the grace of God. Worldly wisdom is not one bit concerned with honoring God. The total focus of worldly wisdom is pleasing oneself. With worldly wisdom, we may become educated and street smart, which enables us to play the world's games and be successful by the world's standards. Godly wisdom enables us to prepare for eternity. With godly wisdom, we trade earthly values for biblical values. We recognize that we are citizens of another kingdom, and we make choices that reflect that allegiance. When we have godly wisdom, we strive to see life from God's perspective and act accordingly. The book of Proverbs, along with Job and Ecclesiastes, are known as wisdom literature. Proverbs, most of which was written by Solomon, known to be the wisest man who ever lived, is full of practical instructions for life. How did Solomon become wise? Well, in 1 Kings chapter 3, we have the account of God appearing to Solomon in a dream, and God says to Solomon, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Wow, how would you respond to that? And Solomon asks for wisdom to lead the people, and God was pleased and said, I will give you a wise and discerning heart. Hang on to that thought. We'll come back to it in a little bit. So like I said, Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes are known as wisdom literature. In Job 28, which is part of Job's reply to his friend Bildad, we find these words in Job 28, verses 12 to 28. This is Job speaking. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. And then jumping down to verse 20. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. So hear God's word to every one of us here this morning. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. I believed very, very strongly that the key to finding wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And by that I mean to have a deep reverence and respect for God, to be in awe of his majesty and his power, to be filled with and in tune with the Holy Spirit of the living God, to love Jesus with your whole being. In case you are unaware, there's a lot happening in our world and in this country today. We live in a society, in my opinion, that has turned their back towards God as becoming increasingly hostile towards him. There are ungodly agendas that are being pushed that are totally opposed to God and his word and his commands. The gay agenda, same-sex marriage, gender identity, all those things go on and on. They're being presented today as viable options in our society. That is just a few examples of worldly wisdom. So back to this idea or thought of how we gain godly wisdom. First of all, we must recognize that we need God's wisdom and believe that it is sufficient to help us navigate through this thing called life. Secondly, we have examples and instructions in the scriptures that we need to follow. Solomon asked God for wisdom and he received it. James 1:5 tells us to ask God for wisdom. We need to ask God for wisdom as we journey through this life with all its uncertainties and all its complexities. Thirdly, we gain godly wisdom by reading and learning what God's word says. I'd like to read a few passages from the Psalms, Psalm 119, 9 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And jumping over to verse 98. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. And then the verse I shared with the children this morning. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a light to my path, is a lamp to my feet, and a light unto my path. Applying God's word to our lives is sufficient to help us through life. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Being immersed in God's word produces a heart of worship and a heart of thanksgiving. That heart of worship and that heart of thanksgiving become the fertile soil for the seeds of wisdom, godly wisdom, to grow. When we drink deeply from God's word and apply it to our lives, we're allowing or letting Christ dwell in us richly. So how does that happen? Perhaps this illustration will help. The water in this container represents your life. I'm going to add a few drops of godly or worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom that says you don't need God. Be your own God. Do your own thing. Life is all about you. Live it up. Do whatever you want. I don't know what you think that looks like, but I think it looks ugly. So when we allow a little bit of worldly wisdom into our lives, things get pretty cloudy, confusing, and ugly. In my opinion. So then what happens when we immerse ourselves in God's word, when we not only read his word, but also apply it to our lives. Well, it still looks a little cloudy, doesn't it? A little cloudy, a little maybe confusing. But I wonder if we continue to do that, what would happen? So, when I say amen at the end of this service, I want you to look what this container looks like. See what the water looks like in it. I suspect it might look a little different than it does now. So, if I could sum up one verse, you know, today in today's world, there's an app for that. Anything you want to know, there's an app for that. Put it in your phone, there's an app for that. Get on that app, you can go amazing places. Well, there's a verse for that also. So if I could sum up worldly wisdom in one verse, it's Proverbs 14, verse 12, which says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." So if I could sum up, there's a verse for godly wisdom. If I could sum up one verse for godly wisdom, it would be Job 28, 28, which says, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding." So I'm going to close this morning by going back to James 1, verse 5, which says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." I don't know about you, but I need godly wisdom. I need more and more of it all the time. Because it seems the older I get, the more complex life seems to be getting. So I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. We're going to ask God for wisdom. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. So I'm going to invite you this morning, if you want godly wisdom, if you want more of godly wisdom in your life, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. And if you're unable to stand, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand high. So if you desire godly wisdom, stand to your feet. And if you're unable to stand, you can raise your hand to receive. And do this with your hand outstretched, open before God so he can pour out his wisdom to you. Father God, we come to you this morning, thanking you that you are a God of wisdom. And your word instructs us very clearly that if we lack wisdom and want more, then we should come to you and ask you for it. And you will give generously to all of us without finding fault. So this morning we stand before you today asking for you to pour out your wisdom, godly wisdom to each one of us in abundance. Thank you that we can do this, and I pray that you would, as you give this wisdom to us, I pray, Father God, you would help us to make wise, godly choices and decisions in our lives in the days that we live in. The day we live in can be very confusing and frustrating, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. But we know that you know. And we believe and trust that you know what's best for us. So again, I ask in the strong and the powerful name of Jesus Christ to pour out your wisdom upon us. And I ask this in the strong and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So I invite the worship team to come forward and lead us in a closing song.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is.
Well, good morning. I just want to make a quick announcement. If you see in your bulletin, it says that the Holy Spirit Fellowship Evening would be here tonight. It will actually be next Sunday. It's supposed to be the last Sunday of the month, so if you're ever curious, that's when it is, the last Sunday of the month, unless something special happens. And I also want to make an announcement, just to let you know, November 20th, we are going to have the Unity of Faith prayer time, and that will actually be held at St. John's Center, which would be right down here on 625, right before Bethany, and right before Union Grove Road there. That will be with us. St. Paul's and St. John's will be coming together, our congregations coming together and having a time of prayer. So please keep that in mind. That is some very powerful stuff. So if you can join us both nights, or either one of those nights, we'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Good morning. So I have in my hand here a little card that says, ticket credit to Alaska Airlines. Does not mean you have to go to Alaska, it just means you have to use this airline. Valued at $1,500, must be used by July of next year, 2023. If you have any questions, see Renee. So this, along with several other items, were donated to the youth group And we're going to have a silent auction to have a fundraiser to sell these items. So we kind of got together as a youth group several weeks ago and decided how we ought to, how, what this silent auction ought to look like. And we had several different ideas of what a silent auction ought to look like. So maybe you don't know how this is going to work. Maybe it's, it's getting clear. We need some godly wisdom to figure out how this is going to work. So let me explain a little bit how we're going to do this. Several of the items that were donated are things like, the tickets for the Alaskan Airlines, and things like food, service vouchers. Somebody said they'll do some fall cleanup. There's even a deer rifle for auction. So what we have is just descriptions of the items. It's not practical to have all the items sitting over there. So what you can do after church today is mosey on over to the overflow and take a look at all the different items that are going to be auctioned off, and decide what you might like and what you might want to bid on those items. And then by the end of the day tomorrow, we're going to have a sign-up sheet to go along with each card, and you can put your bid and your phone number on there. And the auction will run all this week through next Sunday. So if you don't think you'll be able to bid, you can let one of the youth know, let myself know, or one of the youth know, and we can write your bid down for you. At the end of the auction, if you're the high bidder, somebody from the youth group will contact you and figure out how to get you your item and to get your donation from you. So after church today, take a look at all the items that are over there and consider what you might want to bid. Thanks.
Like Brian said, it's getting clear. So the more you immerse yourself in God's word, the more you apply God's word and his teachings to your life, the clearer life becomes. So I'd like you to invite you to stand for this benediction. The holy mystery we call God is a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Go, embraced by the source of life, love, and hope, following the ways of Jesus, compassion and love, encouraged by the Spirit of grace and wisdom. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.